There's so much for leading us in worship, and thank you for all those who lead through the gift of music and through song. If you will, please take your copy of God's Word and turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, we are over halfway through our series through Proverbs on the fear of the Lord, of using all of our life towards worshipful submission to God. Last week, we looked at how our words, how our speech, how our tongue reflects the fear of the Lord and how we speak to one another. Today, we're going to be dealing specifically with the topic of money, the theme of our wealth and how we use our resources for the glory of God. Next week, we'll be looking at work. We'll also address the topic of anger and our temper and forgiveness. We'll look at friendships. We'll look at contentment and also at our home life. We're not going to be looking at every theme in the book of Proverbs, though we are hitting some of the big ones as we are working through this book. And I encourage you to maybe as you read God's Word to really pay attention to how often some of these themes pop up. If you're a highlighter, you like to do highlighting, what you could do is even get like a paper Bible. We've even got extras here at the church if you'd like one, and just highlight and color code. How often does God's Word talk about my tongue? How often does God's Word in Proverbs talk about my money or my work or something like that? And you'll be amazed at how all of these themes are throughout the book of Proverbs. We're looking again at a very sensitive topic, a very personal topic, the topic of our wealth and of our money. Often that is used as a criticism of the church, that all they'd ever talk about is money. Well, if you've been at College Heights for some time, you'll know that that is not all we talk about. But we want to talk about all things. You see, all of our lives need to be submitted to God. We are to be wholehearted disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that includes the use of our money. So let's prepare our hearts to receive God's word, to fear the Lord in our use of our material resources. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, then we're going to skip to 15 and 16, and then 24 through 28. This is God's word, Proverbs 11, 1 through 4. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Verse 15, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. A gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. Verse 24, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Oh God, we come to you this morning wanting to be righteous, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We want to not trust in our riches and our own wealth and our own abilities, but rather, Lord, that our whole trust can be in you. We want to be like the wise man that flourishes like a tree planted by rivers of water. We don't want to fade like the wicked who are blown away like the chaff. God, we ask that this morning your Spirit will convict and work in our hearts where there are areas of our life where we are still at the center of the throne of our heart. May we repent of self-idolatry, of removing ourselves and seeing you in your rightful place as king of all of our lives, including the king and the ruler and the master of our money. Father, I pray for the one who stubbornly still keeps themselves as the master of their heart, that they would repent of sin, that they would realize their need for Christ, that the trusting in self will always bring ruin, but grace and mercy and peace is offered in Jesus Christ. May they turn and believe the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is the creator of wealth. God is actually the inventor of money. God is the one who designed the world and put within it the material resources that we use. In fact, in you read the creation account in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, in describing the Garden of Eden, there is this river that's described, the river Pishon, that's around the land of Havilah, and it mentions in the land of Havilah that there is gold there, and that the gold of that land is good. Now, I've actually never run across bad gold, right? I've never encountered bad money. All right, that's come my way in the right means. And so before sin enters into the world, but before Adam and Eve disobey, but before death and brokenness and chaos enters into the world, God designed wealth and placed gold in the land, and it is described as good. In God's providence, before nations, before currency, he put in the material resource of this world to be used for his glory and for his name. Wealth is actually not a human invention. It's actually something that God made and put into this world for our good. But like anything else in this world, anything else that God created, sin has twisted and impacted its use. Money and wealth and resources given by God is now the source of great evil in many situations. Money has become twisted by sin, and you can go to so many crimes, so many forms of oppression, so many forms of injustice in our world today, and they are rooted in the love of money. In fact, 1 Timothy 6:10 describes this famously in saying that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Imagine if all money-related crimes in our planet ended tomorrow. How much peace there would be. The sinful love of money is a source of great evil, and not just systemically in governments and in the big picture, but also the love of money is the root of great evil in our own hearts. It's a temptation that is always there to love it, to find our identity in it, to find our satisfaction in things rather than in the creator of those things. So does God's word tell us how to use money? My friends, it sure does. All of the Bible speaks to all of life. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, it's been estimated that there's around 130 verses just in Proverbs that have to deal with money. Approximately 2,300, 2,400 verses in the Bible relate to the use of money and material wealth. In fact, some Bible commentators have noted that roughly 15% of Jesus' preaching was related to the topic of money in some form or fashion. If you think about your own life, how much of your time is spent related to things that deal with money? And I'm not just talking about your work of trying to do provision, but how much of like dealing with insurance payments, dealing with paperwork, paying with bills. It's a massive part of our life. So as God's people, we need to think biblically about money. And we need to think about how every aspect of our life has to be submitted to the Lord. We're often afraid to really engage with the topic of money in our own lives because if we're honest, it's a deeply personal topic. It's been said before, you never ask a woman her age or a man his salary. It's rooted in identity, and especially with men, you'll find somebody, even sometimes before you get the guy's name down, you'll find out what he does. What's your occupation? What's your job? It's related to careers and often related to work. The Lord Jesus says that money is a topic of the heart. We saw with our speech how often our words are produced because of the condition of our heart, that our speech reflects what we are thinking and what we are loving. But Jesus also tells us in Matthew 6:21 that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where you put your money, where you value your money, where you think of what you treasure is where your heart is rooted. If I today gave you $20 and said, you have $20 to spend, where would you spend that? Now, some of you may be thinking, I'm going to go to the Broadway Brew and get me a sandwich and a latte. Shout out. I'm going to maybe grab some breakfast burritos. I'm going to buy a new skin on Fortnite. Whatever it is that you're going to do. We might think of something because that brings us joy and it brings us happiness. Some of you, because we're in church, might have thought, well, I would give the money away. No, you wouldn't. You'd spend it on yourself, right? That's our first inclination of our heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What we need to see from God's word this morning is that you and I can fear the Lord with our money by being faithful stewards of God's kingdom resources. You show the fear of the Lord with your money by being a faithful steward of God's kingdom resources. Let's break this down and see how Proverbs addresses this topic. First is that we need to embrace that we are stewards of God's resources. I am a steward of God's resources. The first gospel reality you and I have to embrace is that money isn't ours. Ultimately, everything that we have, everything that we own, everything that we're a part of isn't ours. Ultimately, it's God's. It's God's money. Exodus 19 verse 5 says that all the earth is mine, God speaks. Deuteronomy 10:14, behold, to the Lord your God belong the heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that's in it. Job 41:11, whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. Everything in this world is ultimately God's. He's the creator. He's the maker. He is the master of it. And he has given it to us to be stewards of what he owns. Now, you might be thinking, what's a steward? Right? It's a word we don't often use today. It would have been more common in ancient times. And it's the idea that there is a master, a landowner, a household lord, and he employs somebody to manage his wealth and manage his resources and to use that for the advance of that lord. The steward wouldn't actually own anything. In fact, even in some cases, the steward may even be a slave. But the steward's job was to use everything for the master's glory. We see that in one of the great films of all time, in The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, that there is the king who has been awaited for 20 generations. His throne is up high, and his crown, though, is unworn, because the king has not come back to the city for many generations. And sitting down low at the lowest step on a wooden seat is the steward. He doesn't wear royal robes. He doesn't wear a crown. He just wears simple garb because he is protecting and guarding the king's resources. Even though the steward is the de facto king of the realm, he isn't the king because it's not his. He manages it for the king's use. In the same way, you and I have to realize that we manage God's money. We use God's resources for his glory and for his name. In fact, Proverbs 22 verse 2 says it this way, "The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all." No matter how much you have, no matter how little you have, it is God's. And this truth doesn't just apply to your money, friends. This truth actually applies to all of your life. Every part of who you are is God's. Your time is God's. Your friendships are God's. Your car is God's. Your studies are God's. Your children are God's. Your marriage, your relationships are ultimately God's. And we have to use them as God's people for his glory. When you understand that you're not God, that he is, that helps everything else fall into place. If you believe that money is yours, that it is ultimately yours, then the result is going to be chaos in your life. You're going to be a slave to it because everything you do is going to be revolved around seeking it and preserving it. Your identity will be anchored in money rather than your identity being anchored in God. We have to begin with the reality that we are stewards of God's money. It's His. It's not mine. The second gospel reality, church, that we have to grasp related to stewardship is that the amount of money I steward does not matter in eternity. Ultimately, as the old saying goes, you can't take it with you. No matter if you are rich as 20 Elon Musks, if you're as rich as 100 Bill Gates, one day you're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account for your life. It doesn't matter how much or how little you have. Your money will not save you. You can't stand before God and say, hey, look how wealthy I am. You can't stand before God and say, look how much I've got or how little I've got. Ultimately, you'll be judged and given account for your deeds. And if you stand in your own righteousness, if you think that you can come to God because of something you did or because you're better than somebody else, then friends, when you stand before His glory and His judgment, you will stand condemned. The only way that you can stand right before God is upon the merits of Jesus Christ. When His righteousness, when His riches, when His glory is applied to your account. It's been in the news. Even our president has recently said, I don't know if I've done enough to make it to heaven. Friends, the reality is you can't do enough to make it to heaven. You can't work hard enough. You can't be good enough. You can only stand before God because of Jesus. Proverbs 11:4, which we read in our beginning, says, riches do not profit on the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Friends, we cannot compare ourselves to other people. And we can't compare ourselves to other people in the standards that we create and the standards that we use. Right? Usually when you ask somebody, are you good enough to stand before God? They'll say, like, well, at least I'm not Hitler. Like, the worst possible human being in the last 100 years you could pick, that's who you compare yourself to. Friends, our comparison is not Hitler. Our comparison is the righteousness of God. We will stand before our Maker, and only through Christ can you be justified. Money will not bring you the redemption of your sin. You are a steward of God's resources. It's not yours. It's His. And one day there will be a final reckoning. So do you know Christ? Have you trusted in Him and believed on His name? Is your hope in Jesus, or is it your hope in something in this life? We've got to begin there. You've got to grasp that and let that truth sink deep into your heart before you can apply God's principles for the use of money. You are a steward of God's resources. But the question is not, are you a steward or aren't you a steward? The question is, what kind of steward are you? You see, you are one, whether you like it or not. You are a steward of your time. You are a steward of your gifts. You are a steward of your money. The question is, what kind of steward? Are you going to be a faithful steward? Are you going to be one who uses God's resources for His glory and for His name? Are you going to be one who is an unjust steward who uses your money and your time and your wealth for your own benefit and for your own glory? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted in Him as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, then God calls us to be faithful stewards until He returns. If Jesus came back right now before this sermon ended, and He looked at how you've lived over this last week, would He have said, that's a faithful steward? She has been a faithful steward. Friends, we need to be ready for the Lord's return at any moment. That the master could come back to the house at any time. And we can't just be lazy and use our money for ourselves for a time and then hope later on we can make it up. Every moment, every dollar must be used for God's glory. Are you being a faithful steward right now? There's a couple ways Proverbs speaks about how we can be faithful stewards. The first one is in Proverbs 11, 1 through 3. That you can be a faithful steward through integrity. A faithful steward through integrity. A false balance, 11:1 says, is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is to his delight. A false balance is using scales improperly to your own benefit and to your gain, thinking that nobody else will know. But God knows. And a just weight is to God's delight. Verse 3, it says that the integrity of the upright guides them. God cares about how you manage your business. God cares about how you conduct yourself in practice. God cares about how you deal with your resources when no one else is looking. The integrity of the upright guides them. Friends, let me encourage you right now to commit to integrity before it gets harder. There's this idea, I think, that sometimes that later on in life, later on I'm going to get to a stage and then I'll have integrity, then I'll have righteousness. Friends, it gets harder and harder and harder in your life. Young people especially, commit right now to the truth. Commit right now to integrity, and it will hold you the rest of your life. Be ready when things are easy and commit to that so you'll stand when it gets hard. Because when the temperature gets turned up, that's when the authenticity of something is tested. Commit to integrity now. Advancing God's name rather than working for my fame. Another way that we can be faithful stewards, the Proverbs tells us, is through hard work. It's through hard work. Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. A slack hand is one that's kind of half-hearted. You ever shaken somebody with a noodle hand? And shaken their hand and there's no effort put into it? It's this idea of just half-heartedly working, half-heartedly going through the motions. But a diligent person will work with fervor and with endurance for the glory of God. Proverbs 13:11, it says this about hard work, that wealth that's gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Well, how do you gather little by little? So you go in every single day and you work really hard. And you do it faithfully, day in and day out. You do it with integrity, and you do it for God's glory, and little by little, increase will come. But the temptation is for wealth that's gained hastily. It's for wealth that will be gained quickly, wealth that will not be gained through hard work. That I can do something quickly and easily, and that's going to circumvent God's plan for work. This temptation, I believe, is especially powerful for young men. I can go into crypto and be a quick crypto trader, and I'm going to make a lot of money real quick. Or I'm smarter than the odds maker, so I'm going to bet a lot on FanDuel this weekend, and my sports betting is going to get me wealth quickly. It looks different for ladies in different ways. Maybe you join this scheme or whatever. I don't know what y'all do. But there's an idea out there that I can invest myself in work, and that's the long, boring way. But if I take this alternate route, I can get it quickly, and it's better. God's word tells us, actually, that working and doing things God's way, little by little, increases it. You can make $1,000 this weekend on your sports betting and lose $2,000 the very next day. Friends, don't fall into the temptation and the trap of wealth gained hastily. We can't guarantee the results of our work. We can't guarantee necessarily that we're going to be enriched. We live in a fallen world, but we can guarantee our effort. We can give 100% in our work for God's glory, to do it His way. Friends, let me tell you, when it comes to managing our money, sweat is better than speed. God wants us to work for His glory. We'll see more of that next week. Hard work's the work. It's the mark of a faithful steward. Work is worship, and it's done for the glory of God. A faithful steward works hard and doesn't look for a shortcut. Another way we can be faithful stewards of God's resources is through wise choices. God actually gives us the ability to make wise choices with our money. Sometimes we learn the hard way by not making wise choices. I shouldn't have bought that. I shouldn't have invested that. I shouldn't have partnered with this guy on this. But we can learn from that to grow in our wisdom for the glory of God. Look what Proverbs 11:15 says. It says, "Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. But he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure." It's this idea, you don't go into business with somebody you don't know. Somebody you don't trust, that doesn't have a track record of integrity and the same principles of righteousness and honoring God. The reason you would do that, perhaps, is thinking that's a way to get quick wealth. It's a way to advance myself rather than doing things with wisdom. Friends, let me encourage you to not go into business thinking that I can shortcut God's ways and this will make me wealthy. Partner with people of integrity, people of honesty, people who you know. Make wise choices for the glory of God. Proverbs 12:9 says it this way. It says, "Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread." To be lowly and have a servant means that you don't have all the trappings of wealth. You don't have the exterior appearance, but you're slowly working your way up in the business. You're slowly working your way up in your line of work, and you're showing the ability to manage and to lead others with integrity. It's better to slowly work your way up. It's better to slowly manage people and slowly lead for God's glory rather than put on an air of pretense, put on an atmosphere and an attitude of importance, but actually be empty on the inside. Friends, take the long route. Take the long route of integrity, the long route of righteousness, to be wise and to not put on an air of greatness. The Bible says that God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. In your classroom, in your workplace, in your career, in your school, don't put on an air of greatness for your attention and for your glory, but humbly, slowly work and let God exalt you. Proverbs 13:3 says, sorry, that is the wrong reference. But I'm going to find the right reference for you. There it is, verse 7. Proverbs 13:7. "One pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, and yet has great wealth." There's an idea in our culture today that your status is linked to the exterior of what you show. You have the latest fashion trends. You have the newest cars. You have to have the newest iPhone. And if you have those things, it gives you status. If you have those things, it gives you importance. And let me plead, especially with our kids who are in school, or maybe our high schoolers or those who are in college, our students. There's a lot of kids that show off the latest stuff, but deep down, they don't really have what you have. Your identity, your wealth, kids, your standing before God is not based on you having the latest Jordans. It's not based on you having the latest trends in clothing. It's not you having the coolest phone. What matters is your walk with Jesus and your integrity. What matters is if you honor Him with your life. Friends, so often we think our status is it related to the exterior? God doesn't care about the exterior. He cares about the heart. It's better to be genuinely wealthy and to keep that secret, to keep it behind the scenes, and to use it for God's glory than it is to pretend that you've got a lot and actually be bankrupt. If we can be honest, sometimes we think God's love for us is connected to what we have. If I have the latest thing, that means that God loves me more. Or if my bank account isn't where I want it to be, then somehow God's holding out on me. Friends, your standing before Christ is not rooted in material things. Your standing before God is based on the finished work of Christ. And his love for you never changes. His love for you never fails. Don't put on an air of wealth and be empty on the inside. It's better to pretend to be poor and have things that really matter, and to use that wealth for God's glory and God's name. Proverbs 21:17 echoes it as well. You can look over there. It says, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. I had to convince my wife this was not a verse about essential oils. But this idea is, if I love material things, if I love the passing pleasures of the moment, if those things consume me and they dictate my life, then I'm not being wise with my money. I'm finding my joy and my satisfaction in momentary pleasures, in looking like I'm rich, rather than finding my joy and my satisfaction in Jesus. Friends, if you love things more than you love God, poverty is sure to come upon you. And even if somehow you have a lot in your bank account, your heart will be poor. Your relationships will be poor. Your life will be poor. It's good to enjoy things for God's glory. It is a delight to eat a medium rare steak and thank God for his goodness. It is good to have birthday cake with your children. It's good to use money for delight. But when we find our satisfaction in those things, when we find our happiness is rooted in what we can buy or what we can spend upon, friends, we miss the whole point of stewardship. Wise choices in our business reflect in our spending and reflects our hearts and where we find our delight. So friends, let wisdom, let integrity, let wise choices mark you as a faithful steward. It's a sign of trust in God. It's a sign of submission and understanding that he actually owns it all. And I'm going to use every moment and every penny for his name. I can do that because I'm actually a part of God's kingdom. You see, when you realize that you're supposed to be a faithful steward, you realize that there's a bigger kingdom, a bigger economy than just the economy of this world. There's something that's greater than the dollar. There's something that's greater than the stock market. It's God's economy and it's God's kingdom. If wealth and money are the most important things in your life, then you're going to live that way. It's going to consume you and it's going to master you. But if you realize that there's another king and another kingdom, you're going to live your life that way for his glory and for his name. God's kingdom is better than money. God's approval of you is better than the approval of others. There's a spiritual reality that superinvents itself, that's over this world. In fact, Proverbs says very clearly that there are things better than money. What's better than money? Look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3:15. What's better than money? Wisdom's better than money. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Friends, knowing God through his word, knowing the word of God and living out the wisdom of Scripture is far better than finding buried treasure. The treasures of this book, the treasures of God's revelation to us, are of far more value than the precious gems of this world. wisdom, the word of God, is better than wealth. You know what else is better than wealth? Righteousness is better than wealth. Look at Proverbs 16, 8 through 19, 8 and 19. What's better than wealth? Proverbs 16, 8. Better is little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Verse 19, it says it this way. It says, it's better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Brothers and sisters, living with integrity, living with honesty, living with humility, living with righteousness is better than great wealth. It is better to lose your job. It is better to stand in integrity than it is to keep your job and sin. It is better to live for God's name and for His glory and not have the latest things, and to be able to stand with integrity and with truth, than it is to be a billionaire and live in the nicest house, to have the weight and the guilt of sin upon your conscience. Righteousness is better than wealth. God prizes righteousness. You know what else is better than wealth? Relationships. Relationships are better than wealth. Proverbs 15, 17, one of my favorite proverbs. It says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. I love brisket. I love Texas barbecue. I had a great sandwich this week, and it was a delight. But it's better to have a plate of kale. It's better to have raw cabbage with love than it is to have the best Texas barbecue with hatred. Relationships around a ham and cheese sandwich is far greater than the fanciest restaurant with strife. Friends, don't let money drive relationships. Don't let money dictate who your friends are. And don't let money dictate your marriage and your relationship. Proverbs 19:14, it says this way. It says that house and wealth are inherited from fathers. You might get money from fathers or from family, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A wife that loves Jesus, a wife that honors God with everything that she has, a wife that's prudent and shows the wisdom of the Scriptures, is far better than inheriting $1 billion. A husband that lives for God's glory, a man of integrity who works with his hands, and you know, maybe he doesn't have all the stuff, but he honors Jesus, is far greater than being married to a corporate CEO who lives for himself. Friends, true peace, true relationships, love and joy are better than all the money in the world. And we need to hear that today. Friends, our kids need to hear it from us. Our grandchildren, or even our great-grandchildren, need to know that relationships and love is far better than the passing pleasures of this world. Better is dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox with hatred in it. You know what else is better than money? It's generosity. This is the end of Proverbs 11 that we read, verses 24 and 27. There's a biblical principle here that because everything is God's, I give freely. I'm generous with it of my time, my treasure, my talents, my resources. And when we are generous with our resources, then God blesses that. When we bless others with our money, when we bless others with extra tomatoes grown in our garden, there's some out there if you haven't gotten any, God blesses that. God enriches and God brings blessing upon the one who gives. And if we try to hold it back for ourselves, then we're going to find ourselves empty. In fact, the people curse him who holds back grain. The one who has the ability to bless but holds back is going to be hated by his friends and his relatives, but there's blessing upon the one who gives it. Blessing upon the one who makes it available. Generosity, the selfless act of giving, having generous practices in my business, having a charitable attitude brings the blessing of God. Do you know why generosity is better? It's because you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. God has already given us more in Christ. God has already given us more in His Son, Jesus. God has already given us more in this life than we can ever give to other people. And so if you are God's faithful steward, you realize and you embrace it, God has given me so much. I may not have a lot by the world's standards, but according to God, He has poured out His blessings upon me. And I can give it to you generously. I can give it to you freely. I can give it to you with love because God has given His love towards me. What has God given us? Relationships, the blessings of this world, friendships, Texas barbecue. But more than that, friends, in Jesus, God's given us eternal life. In Jesus, God has provided the forgiveness of your sin. In Jesus, God has provided reconciliation with the God of the universe. In Jesus, we have a heavenly inheritance. In Jesus, the generosity of God has adopted us to become sons and daughters in His kingdom. Oh, friends, you can never outgive God. So, church, let's be a generous people. Let's be faithful stewards of everything God's given us. Let's be wise in what we do and wise in how we manage it because we're part of God's kingdom. And God has given us so, so much. And through that, we can bless other people. Do you embrace your role as a steward? Do you give every effort to be a faithful steward? Do you realize that you're part of a kingdom economy and God has given you so, so much in Jesus? That's how we fear the Lord with our money, friends. We trust Christ because He has given us everything. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You that salvation is not found in dollars and cents. We thank You that salvation is found in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Lord, I pray against the idolatry of wealth, the temptation of our hearts to love money more than You. God, may we embrace our roles as stewards. What we have is Yours. What we have is a good gift from You. We thank You, Lord, that You've poured out so many blessings to us in Christ. And so, Lord, may we use every gift we have for Your glory and Your name. Help us to love integrity and righteousness in our work. Help us to give every effort through sweat and through the means that You've provided rather than ill-gotten gain to advance Your kingdom and Your name. Help us, oh God, to love the things that are better. Wisdom, righteousness, relationships, and generosity. May we, oh God, be a generous people because of how generous You've been to us. In Jesus' name we pray.